Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
What's our intro here?
Because baby, I will be loving you till
we're 70. I like the gaps.
You're listening to Bad Dragons. I'm gonna go straight in here and preface this by saying I'm running on 3 hours sleep. Like, this isn't an excuse, but
it is an excuse. But I will say I'm gonna back up here. You look unwell in the nicest way possible. You look quite unwell.
I just showered as well. I look so much worse than ever.
No, you look like you've been in the sun all day, which I don't know you have been. But I feel like it's affected your brain. Oh well then.
I've been in
bed. Are
you
covered in a blanket as well?
I'm wearing a nudie. I'm trying to take it off because I'm fucking sweating. 1 second.
That's probably it. Giving yourself fucking sweat things. I don't know. Anyway, yeah. Here she is. Quick change, Brown.
Few layers now, I think.
We'll see how we go.
Yeah, no, very little sleep and fuck all battery left in my brain. So, but do you know what? Here, I showed up today, guys.
Beyond the mental deficiencies,
I'm a bit hungover.
Oh, great.
But just only
we're
a smidge.
Really committed to our work today.
Only a smidge. And I went for a dip in the sea and it was so windy. Like the sea just, you know when the sea just beats you up and I was ready to start crying.
I love that though. I hate it.
I went
down as well. I was down in Malahide and it was so choppy and I was living my best life.
I want nature's float tank. I want to put my feet up by my ears and just lie back and look at the sky.
Mm. Yeah. No, I like jumping around.
Yeah.
Jumping around and having a laugh.
I hate it.
But you're grand otherwise, yeah?
I am. Sure, look, it is what it is. Busy weeks coming up back in the TV production universe. So
she's back working, girl. She can't be stopped now.
I can't. Yeah. It's
when Bree Brown goes back to work, it's over for you.
It's
bitches.
Over for you bitches. We'll see how long it lasts. Yeah, I'm going back to Dublin tomorrow for God knows how long I'll last. But here we yeah.
That was a nice retirement for you, wasn't it?
Early retirement was so fucking nice.
Yeah,
I miss it already.
And
how are you?
I'm grand, yeah. All good, all things considered. I also had a swim today. I got a kind of dodgy looking ticket for potentially being parked illegally, which I still maintain that I wasn't. Well, my two wheels were on the path, so like technically I was, but so many other cars were as well.
Did everyone get
and
a
they
ticket?
Didn't have stickers. Mm. No, this is the thing. It was where I parked where, you know, the last time we went for a swim in Malahide.
Yeah.
I literally parked there again.
Maybe you're not allowed to block the entrance.
Maybe you're not allowed. I wasn't blocking the entrance, oh, really, like.
We were the last
time. I don't know, it was just sick. We were in for, I was in for half an hour, like.
Maybe it's, you can't block the entrance in case of, like, ambulances or something.
What fucking ambulance is going to be driving down to the beach?
If someone's drowning, they're going to need to get emergency services in there, Fadula.
The ambulance isn't going to drive all the way down. It's all steps, Breed.
No, but they need to pull up as close steps. As possible. And,
and there was still... You have no idea what you're talking about. There was still room, right?
Okay.
Fucking ambulance.
Just basing it on Defender. Where... I was there the last day. If you parked the same place you parked the last day, I'm just saying that could be...
Well, you were very quiet the last day, weren't you?
Oh, I parked there. Told you to park there, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, I went for a swim. That was nice. Yesterday, I went for pints and a half hours again. Also nice.
Mm. I hadn't gone for pints since, in a pub since Christmas, I think.
There you go. Happy days. I made dinner on Saturday and like it was grand. Ian tried to make out that it was a lot nicer than it was. So I was very annoyed though.
We are literally just running through our schedules here.
And I got Zelda and I played a bit of that and that was it. Busy week now ahead of me.
Busy man, you get me.
Yep. Quite literally wasn't a busy man last year because Love Island wasn't a thing, but I am a busy man this year, you get me.
Isn't it mad? It's been like, what has it been, a year and a half since we saw Love Island?
Mm-hmm.
Is it?
Yep.
Fucking hell.
February? When did it end? Like February 2020?
Literally as long as I've been in retirement.
Yeah, that's a bit embarrassing, isn't it?
No. Let's not get into it. I look so flushed.
That's what I'm saying. You look... Anyway, we won't get into it.
Coffee?
Yeah, I was just kind of leaning more towards unwell again. But anyway, we are... talking about something that is probably going to alienate a large amount of our audience, but I said we need to do it because we were thinking about doing it as part of a live because I think there's plenty of material there, definitely. However, we didn't want people to actively walk out of why are we playing in, what's the name of the place?
For sake,
in
Dublin? Liberty Hall.
What's it called? Liberty Hall. We didn't want people to walk out of Liberty Hall. So I said, let's do today because it is topical as well. And we will have to talk about it at some point.
It is the Ed Sheeran
in the room. Ed Sheeran.
Yeah, we are going to, anyone that we brought in from the Sugar Babes episode, we are immediately using.
I'm really sorry.
We had to balance it out.
And we did, and during Pride and all.
Yeah.
It's not a good look for
us. Well, it's Pride, not Pride anymore. Well, is it July?
It's Pride
tomorrow?
All month.
Yeah, I thought, is it not,
it's
July?
Not July. It's the 27th. Are you okay? I'm more than happy to do this episode on my own.
Oh, stop. You'd really love that.
Shut the fuck up. I would, yeah. I'm talking to fucking... Anyway, it doesn't matter.
I'm good.
We're talking about Ed Sheeran. He's a new song out. It's very like... dog shit. Beat. Do you think it's dog shit? I have a lot of things to say about Ed, some more negative than others. I don't think this song is terrible. But as I said before, the mic started rolling. I actually don't think it really matters because whatever he fucking does now is going to do super, super, super well. So Fadula
said, he makes millions anyway, so my opinion doesn't mean anything. Which, like, if that's the attitude now, we might as well stop this podcast right here, right now. Because what is the point in having an opinion on things if... if we can't.
Go on, keep going. I
can't remember what that sentence was supposed to finish like.
Funnily enough, though, I actually reviewed his Divide album.
Yeah.
In my old place of work.
What did you give it?
I'm pretty sure I gave it 1 star out of 5.
You're deaf. You actually must be tone deaf or something like.
Sorry, Divide isn't a good... Which one is Divide? Divide is the third one. Divide is Shape of You and Castle on the Hill.
Oh, Castle on the Hill is a bop.
I'm annoyed because this review is so well written. I used to write so well, but it's also incredibly fucking mean. When Ed Sheeran first, clichedly, that's not a word, but anyway, burst onto the scene, he was beloved by most. I mean, what wasn't to love? There he was, a hardworking young musician busking on Shop Street, a twinkle in his eye, a loop pedal at his feet, and a dream in his heart. Sheeran was so far removed from the pop star perception that he could have walked past you in the street without batting an eyelid. 3 albums later, public opinion seems to have seismically shifted and it's hard to pinpoint exactly what caused the development. Oversaturation? A possibility, certainly. Despite abandoning social media for a year to work on his new album, Divide, Sheeran has still seemed inescapable. He began the promotional campaign for the album in January, after all. Did you know Shape of You was originally meant for Rihanna?
I'm in love with the shape of you. Yeah, I could hear that. It's weird though, isn't it, to think that there's an overlap there.
Shape of You, one of the album's two singles and originally intended for Rihanna, attempts to convey to listeners that he is more than just your average hopeless romantic. No, no, Ed Sheeran also has sex, ladies and gentlemen. Undoubtedly the least stale sounding track. On lyrics alone, it is cringe-inducing of nuclear proportions. This is just so mean.
I don't want to hear anything about Ed Sheeran having sex.
Well, he sings about it an awful lot, so I don't know how you've managed to escape it.
I'm in love with The Shape of You.
Here's the closing paragraph and then we'll actually get back to it. Since Sheeran loves speaking in mathematical terms...
Sorry, are you just reading one of your old assignments?
Yeah, just having a good old wank here to my own review. Let's summarise thusly. Divide will see his bank balance multiply, but it's a fraction as enjoyable as his previous efforts due to its divisive and derivative nature.
Oh, you'd love that.
Oh! Oh! So good. What happened to me? I used to be good. Anyway,
you're still good.
So I did... I don't have any particularly strong feelings about Sheeran now, but I did used to like quite enjoy him. Very much loved the first album. I've seen him twice. I saw him in the Three Arena off the back of the first album, which was Plus, mm-hmm. wasn't it?
Yep.
Then the second album was Multiply, which I also went to. Did I see him again?
I've seen him three
times. No, I feel like that's it.
And never with you, I don't think.
Yeah. When did you see him?
I saw him in Crow Park. And I saw him in the Three Arena twice.
Yeah, I didn't see him in Crow Park is the thing. I think I'd kind of stopped.
Crow Park, it was actually a whopper gig. I was a massive Ed Sheeran fan though at the start.
I have fond memories of both of those gigs, of them being good. Like,
yeah, for a man with a loop pedal, he put on a great show.
Yeah, like the loop pedal and stuff. And I do still think like some of his songs are well written. And I do go back to the thing of like, was it oversaturation? Because I remember even when I heard Shape of You first, and the kind of there were other songs on that album. Was Don't on that album or was Don't on Multiply?
Mm-mm-mm. On the Plus album?
No, the...
Well, Divide.
Yeah, was it on Divide?
Divide. Castle on the Hill, the A-Team, Hardly.
No, it was on Multiply, wasn't it?
Don't.
Because remember... Yeah. Oh, was it?
It was on Divide, yeah. Dive, Bloodstream, Galway Girl, Icy Fire, Photograph, Perfect, Nancy Mulligan, Thinking Out Loud, Sing, Shape of You, You Need Me, I Don't Need You. You need me, man, I don't need you. Every gig ends with that. Every gig ends with that.
I've waxed my ginger hair.
And he just leaves it looping and you just walk out to it looping over and over and over. Like, it's probably still on loop in the Three Arena.
Like I did, to be honest, when the A-Team came out, right, which is obviously his mainstream debut, didn't really get it, didn't particularly like it.
It was very scripty, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Like, listen to this sad story about a person that you don't know.
Yeah, and like, I suppose from like a narrative perspective, I was like, right, okay, I can get that. But otherwise, I was just like, okay, it's just a song. When did that come out? Let me just check that
2009,
in and compare
it?
To like. So yeah, no, Plus came out in 2011. So like,
oh shit,
yeah, might have been 2010 that the single came out.
Hmm.
I'm just trying to think, like, what else came out in 2011 that we were just like so.
Oh, here, let me look it up. Top 40.
Do you know what I mean? You look that up just while we talk about the first album, but like. I know he'd released stuff before this, actually. Maybe we should go back to his, like... Yeah, so he'd... But prior to this...
Moves
first
like
Plus,
Jagger.
Someone
like you, Price Tag, Party Rock Anthem. It was a big year for music. We Found Love. Price Tag, did I say that?
Yeah, but I suppose that's very, like...
Aloe Black.
Glossy, slick pop. And then you have Ed coming in, like, kind of essentially with just the guitar, kind of singing these kind of sad songs and... Yeah. I don't know. There's always kind of room every generation, or probably less so, maybe like every 5 years, for like a man with a guitar. You know what I mean? It just seems there's space made for them in the charts. If you're to even look at like Lewis Capaldi, like I think he's the newest iteration of Ed.
Yeah. It was the eighth biggest selling single of 2011. The 18 was.
Like, I just...
Can you hear
my
sister laughing?
I just... Yes, I can.
Oh, for God's
I don't
sake.
Know if everyone else can. Tell her to shut the fuck up.
Give me one second. She's playing Fortnite.
Can we
hear you laughing? Can you stop? She ignored me.
He's released so many EPs, it's insane. And like, I won't stay too long on this, because to be honest, I don't know any of them. But I remember the first Three Arena gig I went to, he played was Little Bird, which is off Loose Change, which his most famous EP.
Yeah.
But like,
what a great song.
He released The Orange Room in 2005, Ed Sheeran in 2006, Want Some in 2007, You Need Me in 2009, Loose Change in 2010, which it charted. And then he wrote, there was another one after that in 2010, later in 2010, called Songs I Wrote With Amy. Then he released another one.
The fuck is Amy?
In 2010. Good question. Let's find out. All of the songs were written collaboratively by Ed Sheeran and Amy Wadge. Don't know Amy Wadge, I'm going to be honest. She's co-written your favourite Ed Sheeran song.
Thinking Out Loud?
Yep.
What a time. That was a real moment in our friendship, that song.
It really was. They were all the extended. He's released so many others since, obviously, but like, let's go back to Plus. So as you said, that was the landscape. It was like very kind of glossy pop. And then you had like Plus came out, went to number one in the UK, Australia, 5 in Canada, number one in Ireland, number one in New Zealand, 5 in the US, 8 times platinum, like just, I think it's a certified diamond in Australia. 8 times platinum in the UK, diamond in Australia. God, that is just so demented. Like, it was just, and like, I remember, yeah, I had that album and I really liked all of the other songs on it. I really liked that Lego House, and obviously Ron Weasley's in the video.
Yeah.
What's his name in real life? Rupert Grint.
Yes.
You Need Me, I Don't Need You, also gas. But it's kind of gas because the A-Team and You Need Me, the A-Team only went to number 3, and You Need Me, I Don't Need You only went to number 4.
Interesting. Can you, sorry, like it's stuck in my head now. Can you sing, what does Little Bird go like again? I just remember I love
My Little Bird. I don't remember the rest of it, but that's the chorus.
Do you know, oh my God, do you know what my favourite Ed Sheeran song is? And it's so, it was also written by Amy Wadge, so underrated. What? Gold Rush.
I don't know that one. Is that on one of the EPs?
Blame it on the Gold Rush.
Oh yeah.
You know how to sing, but you don't know anything other than that. So maybe you should learn to love. Like the way. I'm going to listen to that all evening.
Yeah. What the other singles from that? So we had Drunk, a good single. Small Bump.
Yes.
Weird.
Weird song. No. But great melody.
Yeah. But yeah.
Weird that he released it, I think. Not a weird song. Weird that he is like made money off it, I think.
Yeah. It's just, there's something, like the cover of it is fully like a pregnant woman's stomach. Like it's.
Yeah, men aren't allowed to sing about pregnancy or anything, I don't think. That's not,
yeah,
it's really not their area.
Now, in fairness though, good for him. He, around the time of like the Irish abortion referendum, a pro-life campaign tried to use the song without his permission. And then he came out and said,
don't you fucking dare.
I feel it's important to let you know I have not given approval for this use and it does not reflect what the song is about, because it's actually about
His friends had a
friend. Yeah, his friend had experienced like a stillborn birth or whatever, which is like, I don't know. It is still, I don't know. Gimme Love. What do we think of that? Where have we?
What's that called?
Like? Stand on that. Give a little time to me.
Oh, I love that. That
we'll
melts me.
Hide and seek.
The guitar in that actually melts me a little bit inside.
4 million copies worldwide. Met with generally positive reviews. Went to number one in the UK. We already mentioned all that. Highest debut for a British artist, first studio album in the US since who? In 2009.
Adele.
I don't think you'll guess. No. But a woman, but not Adele. Reality show contestant.
Contestant. Sam Bailey?
No. Jesus.
Fiona
please,
Lewis.
Leave Sam Bailey alone. No. Not X Factor.
Susan Boyle.
Yeah. I Dreamed a Dream. I dreamed a dream and time gone by. So basically he did school in 16. He finished school in 16. He did
school in 16.
Sorry. He finished school at the age of 16 and he basically went on, like got a student grant and started like performing at open mics across everywhere. Spent 4 years performing in the British live scene. When, who did he meet? Oh. You'll never guess.
Is it Nislopey?
No. Jamie Foxx. He met Jamie Foxx in Los
so
Angeles.
Close.
And like he's yeah. And apparently this kind of set him on the path.
Jamie Foxx, the fucking dream girls. Like Jamie Foxx.
Frame it
fucking
on alcohol.
What did I watch him in?
It was a one night extravaganza. I love Jamie Foxx. What a man. So basically he was like having a rough time, spontaneously left for Los Angeles, performed a gig in the city, happened to be the fucking open mic night that apparently one of Fox's people is at. So then he performed on his radio show. Jamie Foxx gave him studio time free of charge. And basically it all kind of snowballed from there. Signed to Atlantic Records, was signed to Elton John's management team.
That is insane that he owes it all
really
to Jamie Foxx. No,
it's absolutely, I never knew that.
Never in a million years would I have guessed his name.
In terms of reviews for Plus, it got an average score of 67 on Metacritic, which is kind of like Rotten Tomatoes for music.
Yeah, no, I don't acknowledge Metacritic.
Fair enough. The Guardian, since when, but okay. The Guardian gave
not
it 3
my president.
Stars. Enemy gave it 4 out of 10. The Observer gave it 2. Well, like, The Observer only gave it 2. The Scotsman gave it 2. I wonder, is it on?
I think it's a good album.
I think it's definitely one of his,
it's his best album.
Best.
Probably, yeah.
I think there's some good songs on like Multiply as well.
I think that's his thing though. He has like some really good songs and then some like tolerable songs on each album.
Yeah. So Pitchfork have only reviewed Divide and Number Six Collaborations Project, which was like a mixtape in inverted commas that he did in 2019. Divide got 2.8 on Pitchfork, which is I cannot wait to read that review later. I'd say it is as unkind as mine. But yeah, it was kind of like it just fully exploded from there. He toured fucking everywhere. And actually Gold Rush was released on the deluxe version of Plus.
Yeah.
So the track listing is A-Team, Drunk, You and I, good song. Grade 8, don't really care. Wake Me Up, fine. Small Bump.
That's not.
This, The City, good tune. He's covered The Parting Glass. I did really enjoy it.
The hidden track.
Yeah.
Fun fact, his granny is pretty much, I feel she's definitely still alive, is like 10 minutes away from me right now. Max.
Why didn't you get her on the podcast?
Max, she's like, I could leave now and be at her house in 10 minutes.
You want to hear this for a jump then for Multiply. So Multiply was his second album, was released 3 years later in 2014. Worldwide, it sold 7.9 million copies compared to like 4 million for Plus. He went 12 times platinum. In Ireland, fucking Britain, went diamond in Australia again. Like, Multiply just kind of solidified him as that.
So this is Tenerife Sea
person.
Era.
No, Tenerife Sea is Divide. Multiply is.
So this, this is the deluxe version of his first album.
No, this is his second album. Multiply is Sing, Don't, Thinking Out Loud, Bloodstream.
Yeah,
and
Tenerife Sea.
No, Tenerife Sea is on Divide.
Ah, no, it's not.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not.
I'm telling you, oh, it is. Sorry, yeah, you're actually dead right. Guess who sang it?
The fans go wild.
Someone screaming at this podcast again.
Everyone is like, fuck
all over
off.
Again.
Yeah.
I just say, Butchin. Actually, I do need to apologize about that. It's Buchanan, not Butchin, and I was fully wrong.
But
well,
I do
mind I apologize.
Well.
Potomac. I blame the media on that though, because that's where I got my pronunciation of Buchanan.
You are
but
the
anyway,
media, baby. Every time you point a finger, there's 4 pointing back at you.
Shut up. So Multiply went to 1 in 15 different countries. I did remember liking this as well. I remember thinking Sing was weird, because obviously it's a Pharrell collab. And I think that's where, because like obviously there's hip hop influences in the first album, and he's kind of never shied away from that. He's always said it's like, as you said, Nislappy and like Eminem, he counts them as his influences. And there's like,
right.
You know, he's rapping and stuff. Yeah, I know. Like, I mean, it's a
Eminem,
it's a stretch,
man.
Anyway.
Bit of a stretch.
Yeah. If Eminem is one of your influences, like maybe go back to the drawing board. You know what I mean?
I have such like this, the Tenerife Sea, Thinking Out Loud, There's two other ones that I bought those songs on my iPhone when we were in college, and I used to be able to listen like door to door from my house to like DCU. I could listen to the three of them, and they were perfectly timed for my walk. So every time I hear them now, I'm like back on Shannon Road. I was big into Thinking Out Loud. I really thought that was the best song ever written for a while. Every time
you played it, like
every time you walked into a room.
I wish I could transport all of our listeners back to that time in DCU in my accommodation where Breed would just, I would just hear the intro of the chorus going, boom, when your legs don't. And I thought I was going to have a brain bleed at one point because I enjoyed it. And then when I say Breed, yeah. I'd be like, put on a song. And I just hear, we'd be like deathly hungover. We'd be getting ready to go out. We'd be like going to boxing training.
I think I have a video. Get that video if you can. It was so deranged. Because at the start, yeah, we both really liked it. But then I just kept, like, every time I went to put on a song to impress you, it was always that.
I think it's one of the better, like, basic bitch wedding songs, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Like, it's less, I still wouldn't pick it. But when I hear other people pick it, I'm like, yeah, fair enough. But do you want to know why it is so good? It's because he fucking plagiarized it from Marvin Gaye, as we already know.
Well, Marvin Gaye's song isn't that good. Like, let's not be able to go, it's only good because it's the same as another song.
No, the other song isn't that good. Let's Get It On is a good song. And that doesn't mean, no, that doesn't take away from the fact he copied it. Let's Get It On. Yeah, so he basically tried to, this has been in court for a while. And a judge dismissed it this year. Basically, Ed tried to put in a, he basically tried to have a lawsuit dismissed. There's actually three lawsuits accusing him of lifting the Thinking Out Loud from Marvin Gaye's 1973 classic, Let's Get It On. US District Judge Ronnie Abrams in Manhattan said Structured Asset Sales LLC, which owns one third of Let's Get It On co-writer Ed Townsend Estate, can sue Sheeran, Sony Music Publishing and other defendants over its April 2020 copyright registration for a studio recording of the song. Abrams put the case on hold, citing significant overlap with the plaintiff's separate lawsuit against Sheeran over a 1973 copyright based only on sheet music for Gaye's song and filed as a deposit copy. So yeah, there you go.
I don't know if, like, I need to listen back to it, but I don't know if it's like if that closely copied to
it. It's pretty
to be that upset about. But like, there's only so many combinations of notes and chords.
But that's the thing, though. It's like you give credit or you acknowledge a sample from it, which he's pretty much flat out refusing to do.
Well, maybe he just like came up with a song.
I mean,
do you ever wake up and you're like, I just thought of this great fucking lyric
or melody?
No, actually, I very rarely,
because I'm not fucking Charlie Puth. Like, no.
You wake up with a lyric or melody and Charlie you're like, that sounds great. And then you realize it's from like another song or something you heard in your childhood.
Yeah,
there was a girl I went to primary school with and she tried to convince me she wrote the song. What was the song?
You could say anything here.
No. It was, oh fucking hell, what was it called? What did it go like?
You think about that. I'm going to keep going back.
Don't
to
do it when you want.
When you want to go through it, relax. Frankie Goes to Hollywood.
She was literally 8 and she told me she wrote the song. I was like, no you didn't. But she had
if you're gonna lie, make a bid. Make a big, that's what I say.
Like I'd never heard it before.
So this Thinking Out Loud was his biggest hit in the US. It went to number 2 until he released Shape of You, which obviously we'll talk about. So then we had Bloodstream, which was like a normal, I say normal track, but then he released it as a single and it was remixed with Rudimental. Photograph, I think, is a good song. And you know who it's about?
Nina Nesbitt.
Nina Nesbitt, she's fucking great. I love her.
Who is she?
Make me sad. She is a Scottish singer-songwriter. She has some great songs, including Loyal to Me, and The Sun Will Come Up, The Seasons Will Change. But they were together kind of very early in their careers. And a lot of their music is kind of inspired by each other, especially those like early days stuff. And I think they've kind of acknowledged it as much. And I don't know, was it just because he got like mega famous and that didn't help? So they dated in 2012 for a bit. Hang on, I'm just weird. This is very
hard. He wrote another song called Nina, didn't he?
Yes. Yeah, so they dated in 2012. He toured with Snow Patrol during the time they were together. Then he went on his own tour, so they spent a lot of time apart, which is why there's a lot of references to like long distance in Photograph. Mm-hmm. And as you mentioned, Nina, the song goes, "Oh Nina, you should go Nina, because I ain't ever coming home Nina. Won't you leave me now? I've been living on the road Nina. But then again, you should know Nina, because that's you and me both Nina. I don't obviously know the tune." Speaking about the songs in 2014, Nesbitt said, "He warned me it was happening, but I didn't know what was going on the album. I knew there was a song. I'm not really bothered. It was quite a long time ago and it's a good song. I've written quite a few songs about it that are on the Peroxide album." That's her album. "And people can probably guess which ones. I'm not going to go into detail about it, but we are both songwriters. So naturally we were going to write songs about each other. It was a long time ago now. We've both moved on," which is, I think, very fair. Mm. Nina is very underrated. And if you have not listened to her before, I would highly, highly, highly recommend. So yeah, what other songs were on this? Again, I think this album is good. When I look at the track list, I'm like, yeah. But I think this is kind of where, because he got so famous, like, I think people got annoyed. Mm-hmm. What do you think? Like, why do you think people turned on him? So, like, was he ever... I think it's hard for us to answer this because clearly we thought he was good at one point or enjoyed his music at one point.
Yeah.
And now probably less so. But, like, where's...
Yeah, where it was definitely the oversaturation, like? Over, like, the radio play was too much. And he just kind of is annoying as a person, I think. He's got a smug face that I think people don't enjoy.
Yeah.
And I don't know. He was everywhere. He was absolutely everywhere. Yeah, and I think people got sick of seeing him.
Do you remember the drama around Don't?
No.
Don't fuck with my love. It's about Ellie Goulding cheating on him with Ellie
yes.
Goulding, whatever. Cheating on him with Niall Horan.
There's no way that's true.
No, but like apparently it is.
But for so, me, like, how do we verify that?
He recorded this with Benny Blanco. Then again with Rick Rubin, and the two producers came together to produce the final cut. And it was actually originally supposed to be the first single, but they thought the language was a bit too coarse for the
What's
first
the radio edit for that?
Don't with my love. They just take out the word. No, it's don't with my love. They just don't say anything. Uh-huh. I think. You're asking me how we know if it's
how
about
can we verify
her.
That? Yeah,
so basically. So they were rumored to have dated in 2013, right? There was a photo of them holding hands. I think at the Brits was published somewhere. And basically, like it says, it's obviously very obvious in the lyrics that it's about like having this famous ex, who makes money in the same way, aka a fellow singer, who subsequently cheated on him with the friend. So I think he was asked about it by Billboard. And he said that, like, they're factual. He said it's the story in Don't is 100% true. I could have gotten nastier. There was more shit that I didn't put in. So then in 2015, Ellie came out and said that she did date Niall, but she was never in a relationship with Ed. And she said, "I did go on a few dates with Niall, but I was never in a relationship with Ed. I have absolutely no idea where that came from and why it was turned into such a big thing. I find the idea of Ellie Goulding and Niall Horan being together
Noel
so
Horan.
Funny. Noel Horgan, that's his brother who stayed in fucking Mullingar. Then he was asked in another interview, so it was the VMAs that they were photographed holding hands. And he was asked in another interview with this US radio show where he basically said, normal people don't hold hands if they're just friends. Then I think someone was asked about it by Dan Wooten for The Sun. And he basically kind of backed away from what he said then. This was Ed. He said, "I don't feel it's about anyone anymore. I'm not attached to that. The moment you attach someone to a song, it becomes more difficult to sing every night."
Yeah.
But then he also did an interview in late 2015 where he basically said, "Don't is just a song that's close to the bone and definitely opened up a door that I probably shouldn't have opened up. I just won't say who it's about because, I mean, everyone fucking knows anyway. But, like, I just won't say who it's about because it's quite a negative song." He then said in a separate interview with The Sun, "I got over the anger the moment I wrote the song. That's the end of it. I'm grateful I could get a song out of it, to be honest." And he's been seen kind of, like, partying with Niall and the lad since. So, like, apparently they're grand now. Do you know when I hear shit like this and read shit like this and kind of remember and like all this drama around him? Yeah. And I know it's to a lesser degree to the example I'm going to give. But you know the way Taylor Swift got such shite for writing songs about boyfriends and like being with people, and half the time they were just famous and that's why it got so much bigger. Like, he did this essentially as well. And
not
like,
to
did
the
nothing
same extent,
to.
Though.
I think the going back and forth about, as opposed to either being upfront and being like, yes, this is about a specific situation, I was really upset, I've written this song, I've drawn a line under it now. I think of him going tit for tat in the press about it when she was getting grief for like for cheating, supposedly, which we will never know, you know?
Can I play devil's advocate? Like,
yeah, you always do.
Yeah. Do you never just get like, I think when he started out, he was like fully honest about it. And then all people did was ask him about it. And he was probably like, just wanted to shut it down and was like, I don't want to tie anyone to it. I don't want to associate it to anyone. Stop fucking asking me about it. And I think it probably just depended on the interview and the mood he was in, what his answer was. I don't think he's flip-flopping intentionally. I'd say he's just like, are you seriously still asking me about this? This is the bullshit.
Maybe.
I'm going to give you a bullshit
answer.
Yeah,
but I suppose it is still just the response that like Taylor got for writing about famous people because she was a woman.
Yeah, totally.
Famous people that she, do you know what I mean? It's just like, I think about that stuff and I'm like, I don't know.
Feminism.
Anyway, this is where things went like really, really mental for him. Oh, Bloodstream is about Sheeran's experience. Hear this. Bloodstream is about Sheeran's experience of taking MDMA during a friend's wedding party in Ibiza. There you go.
What a mega legend. I didn't know it was a mega legend.
He wrote a lot of these songs with Johnny McDade, who is the
married to Courtney Cox.
They're not married, but they are shagging.
Did they not get married in Derry last year?
I don't think so.
I'm nearly sure they did. Or they're planning to get married in Derry.
Oh yeah, no, I think they're engaged.
Hang on. I thought that happened.
No, they're definitely only just going out. No, they are engaged though, but they haven't got married. He introduced them as well.
Oh. Interesting.
Ed introduced them. That's why he was doing loads of weird shit with Courtney ahead of like the Bad Habits drop.
He was just hanging out with her.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
He had like a video up of her playing the song on the piano, like the melody before people realized, and they did like the routine and stuff.
Yeah, that was weird.
And Johnny is his child's
godfather.
Yeah.
Lyra, Antarctica.
That was a fact I learned against my will this week. Tenerife Sea is actually about his mom.
I love Tenerife Sea. It's something very like Dermot Kennedy about it.
These are all just kind of random facts about the rest of the songs, which I don't particularly care about. Yeah, so this album was released. He was fucking everywhere. I've already talked about like the success of it. Number one everywhere, blah, blah, blah. Then came Divide.
mm-hmm.
which you listened to my review of this earlier.
You're a really well-written piece.
Really well-written, yeah. Divide actually only sold 7.4 million copies worldwide, would you believe?
Sorry, I thought I was looking at the album tracks. I'm looking at the fucking set list for the tours.
Like, so this came out in 2017. He took like a social media break, which he kind of always does between records. Like, it's kind of been not his thing because it's not an unusual thing. But like, yeah. And this one went like, despite not selling as much, this went like number one across the board. So like Australia, UK, Canada, Denmark, France, Germany, Ireland, New Zealand, Sweden, the US. So it sold 7.4 million copies worldwide, as I said, 3.6 million in the UK, so same as Multiply. Just like an insane amount. And I think this is kind of where it went over the hill for people. So you remember he released Castle on the Hill and Shape of You at the same time, but you could hear, he released Shape of You as like a Snapchat filter or something. Do you remember that? And you could hear the song with the Snapchat filter.
Oh, clever.
It's like such a novelty, like you'd never fucking hear it now. But anyway. So this was released January 2017, won Grammy Award for Best Pop Vocal Album at the 60th Annual Grammys. It was the fastest selling album by a male solo artist and the third highest opening behind Adele's 25 and Oasis's Be Here Now. Already mentioned that it topped the charts in 14 countries. All of the tracks on the album, yeah, I think this is where things got sticky. So all of the tracks on the album reached the top 20 of the UK singles chart in the week of the album's release. The dominance of its tracks on the UK chart led to calls for the change on how the single chart is compiled, and the chart company in the UK then introduced new rules which limited like the tracks that were eligible for entry in the top 100 to 3 per the main artist, because that was the thing with streaming. So like basically he broke the charts. And I remember there was a tweet that went out like of that day where it was like every single track was like he took up a space. So he had like 68 million Spotify streams in one day, which is a record for any single artist. That's probably been broken now with Olivia Rodrigo and everything like that.
Yeah.
He'd 1 billion views for Divide on YouTube. So as of March 13th, so what year was this? This was 2017. Ed Sheeran's Divide album accounts for 9 of the UK top 10 singles, while all of the 16 tracks on the album are in the top 20. Basically, because when they incorporated streams into charts, like it was impossible then, because they were always going to outweigh like physical sales, because people weren't physically buying music anymore, and mm-hmm. airplay. So he basically ruined it. I'm trying to find the
kind of makes charts like unnecessary, or not unnecessary, just a bit like redundant.
Yeah. This album, Shape of You, was the most streamed song of the last decade with 2.3 billion plays. So there you go.
I don't really love Shape of You. I don't really love the Divide album, I don't think.
I remember hearing it and being like, oh, I like this. It's really fresh. It's really different for him. But it's one of those ones that I think the issue with his music is a lot of the stuff where he's kind of trying to be more hip hop and actively trying to be more pop doesn't age well. But then also, like, you actually look at the lyrics for Shape of You. What does he talk about in it? Spaghetti bolognese or something? Or no, the sweet and the sour. Talk about hours and hours about the sweet and the sour. And you're like, what?
Yeah, but what? I don't think he's actually talking about sweet and sours.
No, he is.
We talk for hours and hours about the sweet and the sour and how your family is doing okay. No, it's about talking about the good and the bad. It's not about takeaways.
But it is obviously like a double thing or whatever. Because the previous lyrics refer to him getting a takeaway. Like, it's fucking nonsense. No, of course it is.
It's not that literal.
I think it is. I think it's literal, and there's also like a figurative like...
It's the sweet and the sour. Talk for hours and hours about sweet and sour. It's not.
I'm telling you right now.
It's not. Hang on. Comment below, guys. It's not.
You and me are thrifty, so go all you can eat, fill up your bag, and I fill up a plate. We talk for hours and hours about sweet and sour. I'm telling you right now, it's a double.
Anyone who calls sweet and sour is the sweet and the sour.
He's lucky no one married him. That's all I'll say. Labyrinth was a producer on this album as well, though. Labyrinth, come in. The tour for Divide was the biggest, most attended and highest grossing tour of all time.
What was that Labyrinth song that everyone loved for ages?
Sunshine.
No.
Let the sun shine.
No.
Earthquake.
No.
Are you thinking of the Still Don't Know My Name?
No, it was a sad one.
That is sad. Are you talking about the one from Euphoria?
Jealous of the Rain. Was that him?
I'm jealous of the rain. Yeah.
I remember being on a pre-drinks in fucking Shenoan Square or something, and that song kept playing over and over. It was like, can we please change the track?
You are one to talk, though, as someone who actively just...
That was such a fucking downer for a pre-drinks.
Yeah, no, that is a...
Jealous of the rain.
So, sorry, Castle on the Hill, not a bad song.
I love Castle on the Hill.
I'm on my way.
It does sound like another song, though. I'll give you that. I can't remember what it is, but the chords.
Oh, sorry. So I talked about him breaking the all tracks by Shermer stream 68.7 million times that day, with the single Shape of You receiving 10.12 million streams, both also breaking previous records on Spotify. Both records were broken by Drake's More Life 16 days later. Like, by the second day of its release, the videos of songs from the album had achieved a cumulative 1 billion views on YouTube.
Whoa.
Like,
whoa.
Just demented. So this is also the album with Perfect. Barefoot on the grass, I am a British singer. And then he had Beyonce on it being like, barefoot on the grass.
Oh, yeah.
Jay-Z, listen to our favourite song. This got better reviews than Plus. It's like Rolling Stone gave it 4. Now, as I mentioned, Pitchfork gave it 2.8 out of 10. Enemy gave it 4 stars. Independent gave it 4 stars. Guardian gave it 2 stars.
I don't think it was worth that.
Yeah, not good. So Laura Snapes of Pitchfork stated, considering he is among the most successful songwriters in the world, a lot of his lyrics do not even scan. Sick.
Harsh.
This also obviously controversially had Galway Girl on it. Where do you stand on Galway Girl?
I loved it. No, I didn't love it when it came out. Like, I loved the idea of him loving that he's Irish. But it's a shit song and I never want to hear it again. If I never heard it again, I'd be happy enough.
So his argument against this, right? So he
didn't choose cultural appropriation.
No, I don't think we can say that's cultural appropriation, personally.
Because he is Irish. His dad is literally from...
But he's not, no, but like... Yeah, but anyway. So he did this interview with The Guardian ahead of the release of Divide, where he talked about like what he kind of wanted Divide to be and how he didn't really care. Not that he didn't care about the success, but he said that Divide was going to do... He was like, the next album isn't going to do anywhere near as well as like Divide and like all the previous stuff will do. And he's kind of like, I'm riding the wave, whatever. And he kind of wanted it to be something like Damien Rice's O. That in my lifetime is one of the most important records for me. I'd love for some kid who in 20 years time is a huge artist to be like, wow, that album. But he kind of went on to talk about,
all right, Ed.
He basically had to fight against the record company to include Galway Girl, but he was basically like, he was just desperate to, he said they were really, really against Galway Girl, the record label, because apparently folk music isn't cool. But there's 400 million people in the world that say they're Irish, even if they're not Irish. You meet them in America all the time. I'm a quarter Irish and I'm from Donegal. And those type of people are going to fucking love it. My argument was always, well, the Corrs sold 20 million records. The label would say, oh, the Corrs, that was years ago.
But
who's tried it since the Corrs? There's a huge gap in the market. And I promise you that in 2 years' time, there will be a big folk band that comes up that's pop, and that will happen as a result of labels being like, oh shit, if he can put a fiddle and an illin pipe on it, then we can try it as well.
Shulling.
It's when he says stuff like that, not shulling. It's when he says stuff like that, though, that I'm like, he's so much more, and maybe he wasn't always, but he's incredibly calculated with how he approaches music, which is another reason why I think people don't like him. And I kind of reference that in my own review. I feel like he tries to make out like that he's like, I don't know, like, just like, he loves the songs, it's for the love of the music, blah, blah, blah. But I very much believe he also views music as a business, and like, he's trying to make as much money as possible and be as successful as possible. And do I think that's a bad thing? No, but I think it's the lack of transparency around that grates people. And also, shut the fuck up about the Corrs. Do not compare yourself to the Corrs. Did you write Summer Sunshine? No.
No.
Come back to me when
Best
you do.
Best song ever written.
You won't.
I can't wait
to do the Corrs episode.
Yeah. I think you're right in what you're saying. I've completely lost my train of thought. No, give me a second.
I was completely right when I was saying that.
No, that he, like, every, nearly like with every single he releases, it's like he's trying to tap into a different genre of music because he's trying to find like what will sell the best for him. Like, I don't think he's not being like authentic in like, this is the music I want to make. It's like, what music can I write that will sell and make me money?
Yeah. And like, in fairness, like he was writing songs long before this for like Robbie Williams and stuff and all that kind of crap. But even as exactly as you say, if you even look at that like number six collaborations project where he did all, it was like, he did songs with everyone, but he had Cardi B and he had Camila Cabello on the song. And then he did one with Khalid and the other one that he did with like Chance the Rapper and the other guy whose name I can't remember. Like, it was just all, and just even marketing it as a mixtape, I was like, you know exactly what you're doing here. And I don't really think it's right with me. Like,
yeah.
I don't know. It was just like, he kind of goes, this interview is a good read if anyone's just like kind of curious as to how he kind of ascended and everything. It's in The Guardian. He was the first artist to ever play the venue completely solo, just him and his guitar and his loop pedal on stage. This is Wembley Stadium. Basically said he was really struggling like mentally and stuff with the success. So again, he kind of plugged out, but then he did Supermarket Flowers is also such a fucking terrible song and it's on that album. So he released an EP in that time that was the Spotify singles, but then after that, I think was the number six collaborations project. Let me bring it up here. Which I did not care for and I did not really listen to. So this was 2019. And as I said, it was like marketed as a mixtape. I actually completely missed this. So he released another EP in 2011 called the number five collaborations project.
Okay.
Fifth of five EPs he recorded with the hope of being signed by a record label. Sorry. So this was like the last EP released. This is so funny when you read this. This was the last EP before Plus. Sheeran wanted each song to act as a musical and try to avoid lyrics about women. Like, look how well that went for him. But anyway, so then he released number six collaborations project in 2019. And as I mentioned, he had like, it was very, very hip hop. It was like, oh, sorry. He did it. This was I Don't Care with Bieber as well. And this was like kind of Bieber's.
Oh, yeah.
Come back after the comeback. You know what I mean?
Mm.
So it was Justin Bieber, Camila Cabello, Travis Scott, Eminem, 50 Cent, Cardi B, Young Thug, Skrillex, Bruno Mars, Stormzy, J-Hus, Dave. Like, it's just Take Me Back to London with Stormzy. Oh my God. This, again, went to number one in the UK, number one in the US, nominated for Best Pop Vocal Album again at the Grammys. So the singles for that were I Don't Care, which is fine.
What's that go like?
I think you'd agree. I don't care when I'm with my baby.
Yeah, I like that.
Max Martin worked on this album as well. The second single was Cross Me, which I actually think I do quite like a lot. If you cross her, then you cross me.
Yeah.
Nobody's gonna say that. Beautiful People, which I fucking hate because again, it's like
Beautiful People.
Trapped up. Oh, I'm above the money. I'm above the fame. I'm just like you.
I'm a normal guy at a big Hollywood event.
No, you're fucking not.
I'm just another fucking normal guy at a Hollywood event.
Yeah, I don't do drugs, even though like you literally I'm not gonna do coke in the bathroom, okay, but you literally wrote a song about doing MDMA, which is it. Are you a mega legend or are you not? Like, come on.
Yeah, come on. Are you with
come
us?
Come on now.
Are you against
come on.
Us?
Blow, that's a song that I do not remember. Do you remember that?
This Best Part of Me.
Good song. We need to do a Kesha episode. And then South of the Border is that fucking horrible, like, again, trying to tap into like that kind of resurgence of like Latin. Music. Yeah. And
yeah,
like,
fuck off, Ed. You're literally Ginger from Wexford. Like,
do you know, like, it's just that didn't really sit right with me, to be honest. Before I was signed in 2011, I made an EP called Number 5 Collaborations Project. Since then, I've always wanted to do another, so I started Number 6 on my laptop when I was on tour last year. I'm a huge fan of all the artists I've collaborated with, and it's been a lot of fun to make.
Yeah, I think the thing is that now I know what people are annoyed by, and it's the fact that he keeps acting like he's just that fucking busker with the guitar young lad. Even though he's like sitting in his mansion with his millions, with all his famous friends, but he's still being like, oh, you know, I just made it on my laptop, you know, like I'm just a normal guy. We're like, yeah, you probably were at the start, but now like you've gone so far beyond that. You're not a normal guy anymore. You're hard to relate to. What is it? What's the word?
Unrelatable.
You're unrelatable.
Michael Cragg of The Observer called the record a hodgepodge of genres and guests, a laser-guided exercise in streaming monopoly, a credibility by osmosis playlist primed for summer dominance. And I think that's a much more articulate and smarter way of saying everything that we were trying to say there. I just feel like he's trying to be across all genres.
Yeah, he wants to be everywhere. He wants to be all things to all people.
Which I just, I don't know. And then obviously we have the upcoming record, which I think is called Bad Habits. Is it?
I don't think there's been a name released yet.
So this is the fifth studio album and Bad Habits is the lead single off it. Oh, Jesus, do you know who else is after suing him over a song?
Who?
TLC.
For which song?
Shape of You. No Scrubs.
Ah, that's a stretch, I think.
He settled, oh my God, Sheeran settled out of Cork in 2017, out of Cork, out of Cork. Well, they did settle outside of Cork as well. In 2017, Sheeran settled out of Cork over claims his song Photograph is a note for note copy of the chorus in, you are never going to guess the song. You are never going to guess because you won't know it. But like,
well then, why are you making me guess?
Amazing by X Factor UK winner Mac Ardle. Imagine settling out of court with the Matt Cardle.
Well, yeah, I'd say Matt Cardle just wanted a handshake and a 20 euro note.
Oh, I'd say he got more. I'd say he got well more than that. I'd say Matt Cardle is fucking.
Matt Cardle just wanted a new hat or something.
But yeah, but would you not be a bit embarrassed? Like, talk to me about his. Sorry, I just realized we're 52 minutes in, and I've absolutely monopolized.
No, you really carried this episode, and I really appreciated it.
But talk to me about, because I do have some Cherry. Other small things to say about, yeah, let's talk about Cherry. Let's talk about the baby, because I have a couple of other things, a couple of other reasons why I don't like him, but are more tied into his personal life.
Yep. So since July 2015, he's been going out with childhood friend, or in a relationship with childhood friend and former secondary school classmate, Cherry Seaborn. They announced their engagement in January 2018 and were married a year later. She is the inspiration for the song Perfect. He took a break around this time, didn't he? Like, he was nowhere to be seen. He'd kind of disappeared and came back and he had like a woman and a baby on the way, kind of.
Yeah. Yeah.
So pretty in much. August 2020, they announced that they were expecting their first child. And 2 weeks later, he announced that Cherry had given birth to a baby girl and they named her Lyra. It's Lyra or Lyra? Lyra.
Lyra.
Lyra Antarctica Seaborn Sheeran.
Do you want to know why she's called fucking Antarctica? Here's another thing I learned against my will. They shagged in Antarctica and that's where the child was conceived. And
he admitted that. Oh, I hate when people do
that.
In
a fucking radio interview. Like,
that was just. That's a weird place to shag.
Say less. You're Ed Sheeran. You don't need to be doling out these fucking personal tidbits. Like, you're going to sell a million records anyway.
Was his honeymoon in Antarctica or what? Like,
no, like, he basically said that it was a place that they always wanted to go and it was kind of during their break. They shagged there and then they came back and fucking Cherry was pregnant.
Antarctica Seaborn sounds like a cool explorer name though, so she does have that option if she wanted to drop the Lyra Sheeran thing. Lyra Sheeran is also a gal you'd go for points with probably.
Yeah, it's just something we wanted to have in her name. I know people see it as a weird thing, but like, I mean, it's less about where she was made and more about it being special. I just wanted to have a connection to it. I understand it's like awkward for kids to grow up and then she'll watch this interview and be like, ew. Yeah. Yeah.
But why?
And you still did it?
Like, why do you need to? I don't think people really care about middle names. I don't know why you'd have to tell everyone that was her middle name if you wanted to put it on the birth cert and have a nice connection to Antarctica, fucking go for it. But why are you telling people? Why are you telling everyone? Nobody cares.
But no, the thing is, like, I'm sure people asked is the thing, because like that's how media works. It's like, why did you? What? That's an unusual name, whatever, blah blah. But literally, all you have to do is be like, we went there, we had a nice time, we were obsessed.
Or just be
with
like, we called her Lyra. This is a baby, isn't she lovely? Move on.
Yeah, Ed has to go fucking 10 miles an hour as per usual. I shagged on an iceberg and then my wife got pregnant. Yeah. Okay.
What a mega legend.
What are you doing about global warming?
This is getting a bit hateful, I think.
Yeah, maybe let's rein it back in.
I just realised my face is red. I got a really bad rash.
So he has a record label as well, Gingerbread Man Records. Can you guess who he signed?
Jamie Lawson, 100%.
I wasn't expecting that. I was expecting that answer though, because it's correct.
Every fucking time I've been to see Ed Sheeran, Jamie Lawson comes out and sings that fucking song and depresses everyone.
Which it had like kind of a resurgence on the charts. Not recently, but like again around the time that he signed to Gingerbread Man. It wasn't a TikTok. But like around this time that he was supporting it, went to like number...
Him and Gavin James. I couldn't escape them for about 3 years.
It like charted again, but like he released that fucking years ago and like it went somewhere in Ireland before. I don't know. I found that whole thing strange.
Yeah.
Maisie Peters. She's actually good. She signed with it this year. I do think she's good. Foy Vance is also signed to the record label. He has a bar in Notting Hill called Bertie Blossoms.
Okay.
Named after Cherry Seaborn. He was obviously in...
How is that named after Cherry Seaborn?
I don't know. Because Cherry Blossoms. He has appeared in Home and Away.
Yep.
Shortland Game Street. Game of Thrones. He was in an ad for Heinz Tomato Ketchup. He was also in Yesterday. Yes, absolutely.
I hate when he acts. I really do.
Yeah. But that's just another thing I'm like...
Because he doesn't act. Like, it's not like fucking...
He's playing himself.
I was going to say Jared Leto or something. But like, yeah, he literally comes in and he's like, it's Ed Sheeran on a beach in Australia. And it's like, who cares?
He's having war with his neighbours at the minute. Have you heard this?
No.
So basically, there was a dispute a while ago because I think he like hadn't applied for planning for stuff and was like building... on about building a pond on his, like, he's a big estate in, is it
Suffolk?
Surrey, I think, or Suffolk, yeah. It's a 3.7 million estate near to Framlingham in Suffolk. How is he only 30? He seems like he's older. Oh, that makes me so sad. He basically put in planning to build a wildlife pond and the neighbours objected to it because they said it was a swimming pool, right? And they were like, he was, because there was like a ladder into it and stuff. And if you look at it, it does look like a swimming pool. I'm going to be honest, if you were to look at the photos.
And what's the difference? Like,
added steps and a jetty in the event of maintenance and what is it else here? Like cleaning? Maintenance and emergency. Neighbour Andrew Catty wrote to the council arguing what was initially a wildlife pond has become a recreational swimming pool now with the addition of steps, handrail and jetty. I'm a huge supporter of the creation of ecosystems, especially when it comes to huge ponds and wetlands. What are you a huge fan of ecosystems? And I just can't get enough.
I am a huge supporter of wetlands.
Yes, absolutely. But there was like fire services were called to his gaff back in January of what year was this? Like 20, there was a fire broke out in 2019. But he's kind of in another row with them now because he's building this like wooden gazebo that apparently, again, he doesn't have planning permission for. But he spoke about it this week. And he basically told people to mind their own business. Apparently he was on about naming the estate Sheeranville. So someone asked him about this and he said, I didn't name it Sheeranville. I actually tried to change the name of it to the Shire because I love The Hobbit, but it got denied. He said, do you know the craziest planning dispute for me is the lake that I had dug. Well, it's essentially a pond that, I can show you pictures of it. It is grey, filled with tadpoles. I can't speak today. It's filled with tadpoles.
Don't mix those up.
He said, it's not a swimming pool. There's no filter system. It's naturally cleaned itself with plants that are in it. There's a big thing about like wildlife and newts and blah, blah, blah. Before it was there, it was a plough field. So there's way more wildlife now, basically. 14,000 trees there were planted, which is great for the environment. There's loads of animals. We let the meadow grow up. I just think people need to mind their own business. I'd say he's a fucking nightmare to live near.
Yeah.
Like, I'd say...
What I mean. You're not like normal Joe Soap anymore, Ed, when you're trying to name your land Sheeranville.
Something
from Shrek.
Where do we stand? Where do we stand on him overall?
Listen, fair play to him. He's doing great. But I've really lost interest big time. His songs don't appeal to me anymore. And I don't really care much for his personal life either. That's very harsh.
I think he's fascinating in a way, but that in a way that I don't find pleasant. Like, I feel like it's kind of morbid. Like, I can't look away from, again, in terms of how successful this is going to be. Or maybe it won't be, you know what I mean? Maybe this will be where the tide really fucking turns on it, because the reviews for Bad Habits have been like so bad so far.
Yeah, it's only average. It's probably a grower.
Grower, not a shore. I don't know. I don't know. I'd be very interested to hear from maybe people who still consider themselves like big Ed Sheeran fans. I would be keen to know why. Please DM us on Instagram and let's have an open discussion about this. Zero judgment, because as I said, like I do think he's a good songwriter. Like, he wrote a fuckload of the One Direction stuff.
Yeah.
Like he's capable of writing good songs.
He's definitely capable of writing good songs. He's just too all over the place with his genres.
Do you know, he wrote a song for Ed Sheeran, because he is Ed Sheeran. He wrote a song for Jessie Ware that was really good. Say You Love Me. Say You Love Me. But apparently her mom hates it. I just saw an article about it here. My mom hates the song I wrote with Ed Sheeran.
Unlucky.
There you go.
Would you like some mini bandwagons?
Oh, sorry. Yeah, she wrote... No, sorry. This is a different song. She wrote a song called Sam about her husband, Sam Burrows. And her mom hates it, so there you go. It's not my mom's fave, I'm not gonna lie. She prefers Selfish Love, I think, but my husband loves it. I kind of thought maybe it would be a bit of a Marmite song people would like, because it's so personal, but I realized that it's resonated with a lot of people. And you know, I was happy. If it had just been a song for my Sam, then that would have been okay too. I do want some mini bandwagons, and please, I'm genuinely serious, let's have an open dialogue about Ed Sheeran, about why you do or don't like him.
Okay, but when those DMs start coming in, Don't be fuming.
As a social media manager. Yeah, but you need to say it in a respectful way that makes sense. You need to make a good argument, okay? That's all I'm saying. We've made a decent argument here against why we don't like him. Why we do, why we don't. So come up to the table. Mini bandwagons, Breed.
Mini bandwagons. First one, right? This is not this is not a revolutionary mini bandwagon. It's something that I've been meaning to try for a while.
All the rest of them have been, have they?
Shut up. So this is this isn't news to anyone, but I have finally confirmed it for myself. I bought Amy Connolly's Second Skin, the sculpted by Amy Connolly.
Incredible.
Second Skin.
Incredible. So good.
And oh my God, absolutely every person I saw trying it online said it was class. So I had to go find out. And as someone who doesn't really wear foundation, I really like to wear tinted moisturizers and stuff.
You should get tint and glow.
Especially in the summer. Yeah, I didn't know the difference. And then I got that just to try. But it's, oh my God, so good. And I have pigmented enough shitty skin. And it made me look class. I would recommend if you're on the fence.
Tint and Glow is lighter coverage. But yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I might get that as well. I'm very impressed by all her stuff. The bases as well are divine.
No, everything I've tried, I'm like, because not halfway, but you know when you see something so hyped, you're like, It can't all be that good. Like, what is everyone talking about? And then I tried the beauty base as well, the normal beauty base. There's one that comes in pearl. I haven't tried that, and it's just incredible. It's so good.
I want to try the
concealers as well.
I have the liquid blush and liquid highlighters, and they're class.
I'm dying to try. Yeah, apparently they're as good as Charlotte Tilbury. And
that's what I got them instead. Yeah,
much cheaper and better packaging.
Yeah.
She's a new collection coming out soon with Tara makeup. So keep an eye out for that.
Watch the space, girls. Yeah, I have not watched this yet, but everyone seems to be talking about it, and it's back for season two. Love, Victor. Have you seen it?
No.
It's on Disney Plus. I have a description here. One sec. The music seems very good. Our good friend Stephen Byrne talking about it on the radio yesterday. I think he was interviewing one of the actors, and it just seems like a very good series. It got 95% on Rotten Tomatoes. If that sways you, it's definitely swayed me. So it's set in the world of the movie Love, Simon.
But it's a different guy.
It's about a closeted... Oh, no, wait, hang on. Is Love, Simon about a closeted gay teenager who is forced to come out after being blackmailed? One of them is. Anyway, yeah, it's a series set in the same world. It's supposed to be very good. I will watch it and report back. They're on Disney Plus now.
Great. Well, thanks for recommending it anyway.
I can't recommend fucking Parks and Rec.
If you want.
Oh, I will. That's what I'm watching. You should watch that. I'm halfway through Molly's Game as well. I'm going back to watch the end of that tonight.
Oh, Molly's Game is so fucking good.
Every movie I've picked in the last 2 weeks has been 2 to 2.5 hours long. I'm like,
the Michael Cera guy, that's based on Tobey Maguire.
Yeah, yeah.
Demented. Tobey Maguire.
I believe it.
Unfortunate dickhead.
Also, this is not funny, just to preface that, like, it is a little disclaimer, not funny, but have you seen that clip from the Tour de France, stage one?
I have, yeah.
Like,
why'd you say it if you're...
That would be like, me. That would be me.
With the sign or falling over?
But probably either.
Imagine you're after training for that long, though. But what the fuck did it say on your one sign? Sorry, can I also say
something?
When we were trying to plan this episode, Bree turned around and goes, would we get an hour out of the Tour de France?
I was with Mark and I was like, do you actually think we get an hour in the Tour de France? He goes, yeah, you could talk about Lance Armstrong. And I was like, he kind of talked me into it being a great idea. And then I text Fiona and she just was like, absolutely not.
That's it. Like, Lance Armstrong's a separate episode and also we're not doing that. But
yeah, well, it's not very on brand for us. But yeah, so right,
talk to me about what happened.
Yeah, there's a clip during the rounds where basically it's the very start of the Tour de France, stage one, very fucking start of the race. And there's a person standing on the sidelines. They have a big cardboard sign. It says Allez something. And the sign is like they're turning. So they have their back to the race. They're trying to get the sign onto the like on the telly or like to the cameras. And one of the cyclists comes up and hits off the sign and falls off their bike. Like, how did that happen, first of all? But it's caused like, this domino effect between all the other cyclists. Bad. So many people are really, really badly injured. Like, have you seen the injury list?
People have dislocated
limbs, stitches, head injuries, broken arms, broken shoulders. People are really, really hurt.
I hope that person is arrested, genuinely. She needs to be arrested.
But I don't know if it's not their fault, obviously, because it was an accident. But like, who laid out the course that way?
No.
What?
She deliberately stepped in front of them. Like,
no, she didn't.
Yes, she did.
No.
Yes, she did.
No, she didn't even see them coming. She had her back to them.
I
don't think it was deliberate. I think it was an accident.
I don't think she deliberately set out to injure people, but like she stood, like, I just don't understand how you couldn't see that that was coming or that was going to happen. Like,
yeah. Anyway.
Like, surely you would have heard her. Do you know what I mean? It's just, anyway, fuck her. I am annoyed about that though. Like, it's just...
Yeah, it's a real shit show.
How is that a mini bandwagon though?
Because I just saw it all over the internet today, and I didn't know a third.
Well, thanks for giving context. Listeners, because you know what, people's imagination run about them. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And the Tour de France is a bandwagon. If you're watching,
the Tour de France is on. Are you watching? Let us know. Yeah, there you go.
Great,
I made it work.
Great, great, great. You sure did. This
t-shirts?
Is your. Absolute last chance to get our t-shirts from Doon de Vale, our latest Pride collab. All profits going to LGBT Ireland. You have until the 30th. So you need to go and get them from doondevale.com.
Yeah, none of your messing.
Choice of three t-shirts. You've heard this all before now at this point. Three different little slogans. And the quality is really good and they're really nice. So yep. Once they're gone, they're gone. We're never making these t-shirts again with this slogan. So... get them while they're hot. Oh, my bike just fell over.
Oh, I hate that.
I need to hold it up. The duct tape is not holding up. This podcast has been produced by Collaborative Studios.
Yep. We are on social media, Bandwagons Podcast everywhere. You can rate, review, subscribe on all the channels. Listen to all our older episodes, our whole back catalogue on Spotify. Leave us a review, but only if it's nice. Send us a DM if you want to talk. We're here. If you have any suggestions for episodes that aren't Lance Armstrong or the Coors, please do let us know.
We are absolutely doing the Coors.
We are always looking for episode suggestions. Always. We might not do them, but we're always looking for suggestions.
Yeah.
We are doing something for the Patreon this week.
We're doing a movie. Oh, yeah. We're doing Off the Wagon. Is my mic recording anymore?
Yeah.
Can you hear me? I feel like hello.
Yes, I can.
Hello.
Yes.
My waves aren't changing for me.
I can hear you loud and clear.
Okay, fine. Okay, Shane can hear me. That's fine. We are on a little 2-week break from next week, but you will have episodes from us, but they are from the old Patreon back catalog. So if you like what you hear, maybe consider signing up to our Patreon, patreon.com/bandwagons.
Yeah.
We're taking our annual leave. There'll be a nice little surprise. Yeah, we've never actually taken a full break. So we're going to enjoy.
Support us in this.
support us in this. They're good episodes and they're good and evergreen. You will enjoy them. The patrons know. The patrons love this content. Okay. Patrons, they know what's up.
Yeah. And if you're on Patreon, you will be getting new content as usual. There's no break with Patreon. The fun don't stop at the Patreon.
Fun don't stop. We won't physically see you next week, but we will.
You'll hear our voices next week.
You'll hear our voices, and we will see you in 2 weeks' time. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns. Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.